Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. One day the grave could conceal it no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Far away, rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day! Oh, glorious day! Glorious day! Oh, glorious
day. Brothers and sisters, welcome and happy Easter. As we start our Easter services, always off, and if you need to follow along, you can grab your bulletins, but we begin with Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And just to make sure we get it, we repeat it a few times. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let us rise and sing together to celebrate.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he.
The hand that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
is ascended, my Lord evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
Jesus, you are Lord of all.
pray with me, please. It is written, and we believe it, we proclaim it today, that Jesus is risen, that He is Lord of all, that His love extends to all of us, even as we might find ourselves here and now still kind of wondering, what is this story of this man who claimed to be God, who died and rose again? For this promise and for this love, we are grateful, O God. And we pray all these things in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to think of this moment. Think of yourself being present at the tomb after Jesus has been crucified on this cross, showing up and finding there is no body there. And Jesus appears to each one of us and says, My grace and my peace be with you. This Lord of all conquering the grave, that we might know this grace and peace, that we might know this love and joy today that we can experience and share together. With Him as our example, granting us grace and peace, let us take a moment and share that peace with each other. Please do that now.
All the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopes of sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, and so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And now or where they've taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen him crucified, and then I saw him die. But back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even though he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. He raised, suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees, and I just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared with sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive.
Easter story with us so beautifully in music. I'm going to invite the children to come forward at this point, and you can join Carissa and I in a children's message, and I'm going to look for her microphone. Kate, you had your microphone? That's what we need. Thank you very much. I want that. Thank you. Make sure it's on. There you go. I'll hold it up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
So, what are some special things you think of when you think of Easter?
Eggs.
I
think of candy.
Candy, that's a good one. What else?
New life.
The Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny. Anything else?
Presents.
Presents. What do you think of? Oh, I didn't get that this Easter, did you? My parents didn't give me anything.
Yeah, we'll tell the other side of the story later.
Anyone else? What do you think of? What? Yeah, what do you think of?
Jesus?
That's a good one. One more. What do you think of?
Get presents for him at factory.
What? Oh, we got a special present? Okay. Well, another thing when I think of Easter is the flower, the lily. And it represents a lot of things about Easter. And me and my dad are going to talk to you about that today. The lily is white, and it represents how Jesus was pure and clean, because white is clean, from sin. And it also smells sweet And the Easter message is, and the Easter message of life after death is also sweet.
Okay, and then I'm gonna add, the lily grows in what? Where does the lily grow in? A garden, right? Can grow in a garden, right?
Or a pot.
And Jesus, when he came the first Easter, he appeared in a garden. And the last thing is the lily is shaped like a trumpet, like a horn. You ever have one of those horns that you blow? The Easter lily is shaped like a horn, like a trumpet, because it's trumpeting the good news that Jesus came back to life. And so Jesus can help all of us when we die and we believe in him to come back to life in heaven too. So that's the good news about the Easter lily. And I hope you see a few of them around here, and maybe you've got some at home, and so you don't pick the rest of the flowers. Maybe we better pray and let you go back to your mom and dad's. So today, after we pray, can we fold our hands? You're going to go back and sit with your moms and dads to stay for the Easter service. So that'll be real special, right? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your life, for love, for lilies, and thank you for coming back to life again so that we too can know that you will bring us back to new life. In your name we pray, and all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. You may go back to your moms and dads. You want to give that to Kate?
Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you
seated. So I imagine you are the folks that couldn't get a flight to Texas to watch Tim Tebow preach this morning on Easter Sunday. So you're here. I'm glad that you are. And if you're a visitor among us, we especially would like you to fill out this blue connection card. And if you're a regular attender here, we'd like you to at least put your name on it and put it in the wicker basket at the offering time. And if you look on the back side of it, there's a number of things that you can get information about. There's next steps you can take in your spiritual life to be a follower of Christ or to commit yourself today to be a firm believer in Jesus' resurrection. And there's a few things you can sign up for. We're bringing back Gigi Schweiker to talk to us about being a good role model for our child. Check that out on page 4. Or the monthly men's breakfast. Check that out on page 6. Or God's Phoenix Woman Retreat on page 6. And all of the other announcements in between. God has blessed us. We are an active congregation, not just on Sundays, but every day during the week. So as we prepare to hear God's word, would you quiet your hearts with me for the reading and the proclamation of the greatest story ever told? Pray with me. Jesus, how can we begin to thank you? The surprise of the song that Jeff sang, that we thought the people were coming for us, and yet it was the news that you are alive. And so, as we enter into that, the great surprise of the story, fill us again with the truth and the power of Easter, that we might leave this place in new life. In your name we pray, and all God's people said.
Scripture reading this, by the way, good morning, happy Easter. The scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 42. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh. One kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. This is the word of God. The Lord.
To him too. As soon as I picked up the phone, I knew that Mary was off her meds again. Pastor Todd, you believe in past lives, right? Before I could mutter an answer. Because in my past life, I was Jesus Christ's daughter when I picked my teeth up off the floor. I muttered some sort of biblical response, which Mary totally ignored and went on to say, and I was hoping that you could help me connect with your brother-in-law, you know, the Buddhist priest, and Richard Gere. Because I'm sure that they could help me get back in touch with my past life. Now, if you think that's odd, maybe you do, maybe you don't, did you see the ABC News special about 2-year-old James Leninger, who knew surprising details about James Houston, who was a Navy fighter pilot in World War II, whom the Japanese downed 60 years ago. His dad at first was skeptical, but little James started telling things like that he flew a Corsair and that he took off from the Natoma, and the parents couldn't figure out how could he know this. And finally, dad came to the conclusion that James Houston had come back in the form of his 2, 3, and 4-year-old James Leninger for unfinished business. And they wrote a book, and you can read about it if you're interested. It's Soul Survivor. So I'm a little puzzled this Easter morning. I'm wondering why everybody's past life is heroic. Why no one was the town drunk before? And more to the point, I'm wondering what this says about our hero, Jesus Christ. Was Jesus reincarnated? I mean, conventional wisdom, right, is reincarnation and resurrection are the same thing. They're all about new life, right? Well, Shirley MacLaine tells us that the early church believed in reincarnation and that it wasn't until the 6th century, and this part is true. Matter of fact, 553 AD, where the Second Ecumenical Council of Constantinople said that reincarnation is heresy. And then other people who believe in reincarnation will tell you that it's throughout the Bible. They'll say, well, Jesus said it, right? In that famous passage in John 3, verse 5, you must be born again. Or Jesus said it again, what the Jews are celebrating now in the Passover at the same time that we're celebrating the resurrection in Matthew 11. If you are willing to accept it, John the Baptist is Elijah to come, Jesus said. Or there's that great story of the Transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration. Some of you have been there, where the Scripture tells us that Jesus was transfigured before them, that is, Peter, James, and John. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Reincarnation? I suppose, growing up, I was taught reincarnation, and you probably were too. I remember just being a little tyke, like the little tykes that we hear that have a hard time, you know, being quiet during a sermon. That's all right. And we're glad they're here. And I pulled on my dad's pants one day, and I said, Daddy, where was I before I was born? And they said, oh, you were a soul in heaven. That's the root of the belief of reincarnation. You have an immortal soul. So are reincarnation and resurrection the same thing? Yes, they both teach new life. Is there any difference? So I did what all self-respecting seekers do, and I turned to Yahoo Answers, right? And Yahoo Answers gives two very interesting definitions. First is from Andy 17. I don't know if that's his age. He's very smart for his age. And Andy writes, resurrection is when you come back from the dead in the same body. Reincarnation is when your soul goes into a different body and you might not remember what you did in a past life. Or Katz, humorously, I assume, writes this. Basically, in Christianity, Jesus was resurrected as Jesus. In Hindu, if you died tomorrow, you could become a cockroach by the weekend. I don't mean to insult any believers in reincarnation. But the text that Laurel read this morning very clearly teaches the biblical view of resurrection. Because the biblical view is, in its proper context, that there's resurrection, but there isn't reincarnation. You and I don't have an immortal soul. Okay? We'll talk more about that. First, let's go to what Paul said at verse 35. He asked the question, a very resurrection Judeo-Christian question, how are the dead raised? You have no immortal soul. The dead have to be raised. How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? And then he goes on to say that your body is not just a banana peel that you throw off at some point, but it's a seed for the new body that you're promised in heaven. He says it this way. You do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed. For there are both heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. Okay? We'll talk more about that in a moment. And lastly, he says, you don't come back as a cockroach. That's impossible in Christian teaching. There are only two bodies, an earthly body and then the heavenly body that will come. And he says this, but God gives a body as he has chosen. There is one flesh for human beings, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. Sorry, Shirley. So, what's being said here? While both resurrection and reincarnation teach new life, there are two primary differences. Resurrection emphasizes body and grace. First body. The body that you have, the scripture tells you, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That God made everything that's physical in the world, and the physical world is valuable. So valuable, in fact, that when Jesus comes again, you will receive a new perfected body, not only, but that heaven will be right here on a perfected creation with perfected bodies. Now, that's not what my Buddhist brother-in-law believes. He believes in an immortal soul that as he attains enlightenment will go from body to body, from lifetime to lifetime, until finally when he retains enlightenment, it'll be released into nothing and he'll be freed from the physical world. The Judeo-Christian worldview celebrates the physical world. All right? That's first. Second, yeah, you can do that, buddy. That's all right. We'll do it together. Second is grace. The belief in reincarnation comes out of faiths that believe that you need to climb your way to God in successive lifetime after lifetime. I wonder why Mary, as Jesus' daughter, didn't just kind of get right up there right away. But you're climbing your way to God. The Christian belief is the opposite. That God in Jesus comes down to you by grace. Grace is unconditional love. Grace is unmerited favor. There's nothing that you can do to earn grace. Grace is offered to you freely, completely, in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for you on the cross. In Christian theology, your new life, your forgiveness of sins, the perfected body you'll be given when Jesus comes, it's all of grace. As God raised Jesus from the dead that first Easter morning, God will raise you and I from the dead as well. So that's a lot of theology. How does an Easter faith live in a physical difficulty? I've asked Laurel to come forward and share her story once more. Laurel, we need to give you a microphone. Kate, do you still have your microphone? Let's get Kate's microphone over here. Kate, can you bring it up? Thank you. And what Laurel has to say is a great story. It'll seem to have nothing to do with reincarnation or resurrection. It has everything to do with it, and we'll talk about that later. Is that good? Are you nervous yet?
Let's not talk about it.
I told Todd I needed a...
You got to talk in the mic.
Oh, that's right.
Is it on?
No, now it's on.
It's on now.
Hi. Happy Easter again. I was going to start out by telling you not in a million years would I have thought that I'd get up and do this. But then on the way into church... Todd mentioned to Anna and Judy Schwartz that I was going to do a testimony. And Judy says, no big deal. She was a teacher. She can do this. Well, Little does she know, and I know there are a lot of teachers in this audience, talking to children and talking to adults is a totally different ballgame. Take, for example, back to school night. Hello. How many teachers? We panic. It's one thing talking to a group of children. That's no big deal. But talking to their parents? Uh-uh. I know that right before Zachary Burster was supposed to go into fourth grade, the end of June, I got my class list, Zachary Burstra. And I said, this is not happening. Not a chance. I mean, I was newly back into church, hadn't been not even a year yet, and there was no way I was having my pastor and his wife sit in my classroom on back to school night. There was just no way.
Don't worry, we never went.
If I had known that, I'd have taken him. He was a good kid. But anyway, I'm here today to give you my faith story. And I just pray that the Lord puts the right words in my mouth to honor him. I'll begin last summer. I had gone for a breast biopsy. And I was coming back on the train from New York with my sister-in-law. And we had had a great day. And I was expecting a call from my surgeon who thought, it's fine. Nothing's wrong. Well, she calls and I pick up my cell phone and she says, hi, Laurel. She said, is this a good time to talk? And I thought, oh, crap. Yes, this is a good time to talk. Why not? So she gave me the news that, yes, indeed, I did have breast cancer. Well, that was just the beginning. Since that day, I have felt such peace, and I'll tell you why. Because of you. God gave me you. And through your already loving group of people that you are, through your prayers, your hugs, your cards, your everything, and your meals, by the way, which I was reluctant to accept because, you know, you don't want to put other people out. Oh, it was hard giving them up. But God gave me an overwhelming message at that time. He puts people in our lives to love us and take care of us. And for me, I am blessed through all of this. I have never felt alone through the diagnosis, through the chemotherapy, and now the radiation. I know God is there with us, and I can tell because you are there with me every step of the way. As I say, I have been blessed. I think I've grown closer to my family. I've grown closer to my church family and to my longtime friends. I have met people while I was in treatment who have touched me and who I think I have touched as well. Even outside the treatment room, this one person comes to my mind. Her name was Monique, and we were both down in the boutique at Steeplechase, the cancer center. And she had been going through a long time chemotherapy. And we got to talking a little bit, and I said to her, may I pray for you? And she said, yes. She said, and I said, asked her what her name was. And she said, what is your name? And I said, Laurel. And she said, may I pray for you? What an incredibly humbling experience. Ah. Before each chemo, I would get a little nervous. You know, this is the big deal. They're putting poison in our bodies when they do this to us. But this one, it was my next to my last chemo. And I was particularly anxious about it. And it was January 31st. So I got up in the morning, you know, and I'm feeling sort of really out of sorts. And I opened this book. It's called Jesus Calling. It's a daily devotional. And it's incredible. It's as if Jesus were talking to you. And I'm going to read you what I read that morning. I am your strength and your shield. Hello. That's all I needed. I am your strength and shield. I plan out each day and have it ready for you long before you arise from bed. I also provide the strength you need each step of the way. Instead of assessing your road ahead, concentrate on staying in touch with me. My power flows freely into you through our open communication. Refuse to waste energy worrying, and you will have strength to spare. Whenever you start to feel afraid, remember that I am your shield. But unlike inanimate armor, I am always alert and active. My presence watches over you continually, protecting you from both known and unknown dangers. Entrust yourself to my watch care, which is the best security system available. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And you know, I look back on my life and I've done some pretty screwy things. Some of you know. And those of you don't, you know, some poor choices in my life. But now looking back, I realize God was there with me every step of the way. And so I was reading Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Now, this is not the words from the Bible itself. It's from the footnotes. But to me, it says it all. The more we know what God has done in years past, the greater confidence we will have about what he will do in the days ahead. And that says it all. And I love you all, and happy Easter. And those of you who are visiting, I just come join our warm congregation. They are incredible people. We'd love to see you again.
That's beautiful. Yeah, you all take care. I think you could have handled us in the parent meeting very easily. So, you maybe didn't pick up Body and Grace in her story, but it was all through there, right? If she was a Hindu or a Buddhist, she would have been taught to meditate, to distance herself from her desire to be healthy, from her worry, because her soul is going to go into another body anyway and eventually be released into nirvana, the land of nothingness. But as a Christian, she knew this was God's temple. It was the only body that God was going to give her until the perfected body when Jesus comes. And so she wanted it to be healthy, and she submitted herself to the medical procedures. And that was how she showed Easter faith in the physical. And then there was Grace. Grace was all through her story, right? It wasn't that Laura was somehow distancing herself, meditating, objectifying life until she could attain enlightenment. It was that God was coming to her first in Jesus Christ and through the people of a spiritual community like the congregation and enfolding God's self around her and promising her, if your body is not healed in this life, it will be healed and perfected in the life to come. And, you know, you have a choice of how you want to look at the world. I'm not saying that reincarnation is bad or evil. I'm only saying that I think resurrection is a greater fulfillment of the story of new life. You can look at it any way you want. But for me, I am committed as Easter person to believe in the resurrection. And if you share that enthusiasm with me, I invite you to stand and to read the conclusion to 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul passionately declares the power of the belief of the resurrection. Stand with me. Take out your bulletins. And those that have committed themselves to this faith, show it by your enthusiastic reading of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 57. Saying together, we will not die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. As God has given himself completely to us, may we give ourselves to God. Would you please fill out, if you haven't already, your connection card, particularly any spiritual commitments that you'll make, and put it in the wicker basket as we give ourselves back to God.
Salvation set us free. Death, where is thy sting? The curse of sin is broken. The empty tomb stands open. Come and see. He's alive, alive, alive. Hallelujah, alive. Praise and glory to the Christ the one and only, so powerful and holy, he rescued me. Death can't hurt me now, because he has redeemed me. No grave will ever keep me from my King. He's alive, 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 hallelujah, alive. Glory to the Lamb, alive.
Let the people sing.
Worthy is the mighty King.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy of our praise.
Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave.
Let the people dance. Let the people sing.
Worthy is the mighty King.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy of our praise.
Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave.
Let the people dance. Let the people sing.
Worthy is the mighty King.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy of our praise.
Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave.
Let the people dance.
Let the people sing.
Worthy is the mighty King.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy of our praise.
Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave.
Let the people dance.
Let the people sing.
Worthy is the mighty King.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy of our praise.
Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave.
Let the people dance.
Let the people sing.
Worthy is the mighty King.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy of our praise.
Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave.
Let the people dance.
Forever,
let the people dance.
Forever,
let the people sing.
Amen.
Worthy.
how can we trumpet it any more than just the great story, the great message that you are alive? And because you are alive, we will have new life now and completely new life in the life you bring to come when heaven comes on earth and the lion and the lamb are together and the child plays near the nest of the cobra and all of your world, the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth. We look forward to that day. And until then, we commit ourselves to help other folks who need to know your great promise of grace and physical blessing to have that as well. In your name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Just be careful. Just be careful. The kids have done well, haven't they? It's tough for them. They're doing really well. We're almost done, but we're going to pray, and you're going to offer you an opportunity to add a thanksgiving, either quietly or out loud, or a request quietly or out loud also with the cards that I was given. Let us pray together. It ever amazes me, Lord Jesus, that no matter how many requests I could send to a president, I would never be given audience. And yet, the smallest, humblest town drunk, sleeping in a cardboard box under a viaduct, if he cries out the name of Jesus, all of heaven's attention is on that person. And so all of heaven's attention is upon us as billions around the planet are praying to you at the same time. And so are we, O God. Thank you for your undivided attention. And we give thanks for Dave Dzwanzik's 20th birthday on the 4th. It's a great thing. We're thankful for our family, O God, and for so many other blessings. Hear us now as we name them either out loud or quietly before you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for
all the sugar and jelly beans.
All the sugar and jelly beans. The beautiful day.
For your love and your grace.
And for my grandfather who passed away. For Judy Schwartz's 20th birthday tomorrow. or birthday tomorrow. For those who bring their children to church, and there's one other I missed. Oh, for a brother's 21st birthday. For the upcoming spring camping trip. For 46 years of marriage. For Frankie. Don and Lucy. I heard the holiday part and I lost the rest. For a holiday that someone is not in the hospital. For a cousin's birthday. And Jesus, we give all of these thanks to you and so much more, for you have given us this world, our bodies, the people in front of us, behind us, next to us, and we're grateful for all those many blessings, especially Jesus. And so, Lord, also then, we bring before you the brokennesses of bodies and of souls and of minds, our own or others, who need your help. We remember especially niece Chelsea as she has surgery tomorrow at Somerset Medical Center. And another prayer for Chelsea as she has surgery tomorrow. And for a dear friend, I believe it's Dean. We lift those before you. And also, Jesus, either out loud or quietly, any other concerns, hear us as we ask you for. Support for the food banks in the notoriously low, difficult spring and summer months. For safe travel for people going to and from. For a nephew and brother and many others who are looking for jobs. I didn't get either of those. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that either. Can you help me?
the son of Carlos, may he rest in peace. The kids who have less in Africa. Prayers for Vinny as he goes to the cardiologist. May the cardiologist point him in the right direction.
Prayers for the Jackus family.
Prayers for the Jackus family. And thanksgiving for Mark's good ears. And we combine all of these prayers together with people who say them in other languages, in other climates, in cathedrals and huts and everything in between, in their homes, on hospital beds, death beds, in the fullness of life, O God. All of the prayers that you hear, we combine with them the model prayer that you taught us, and you pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand and sing.
Good luck.
Almighty God, my Redeemer, my hiding place, my steady refuge, no other name like Jesus, no power can stand against you. My feet are planted on this rock, and I will not be shaken. My hope it comes from you alone, my Lord and my salvation. All things are possible. Your praise is always on my lips. Your word is living in my heart. And I will praise you with a new song. My soul will bless you, Lord. You fill my life with greater joy. Yes, I delight myself. You, Lord,
when I am weak,
you make me strong.
Sunday. It won't be you won't be quite so crowded.
Or loud.
Or loud, right. And know that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, the Easter message is that Jesus goes with you, before you to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said,